But when they see how devoted you are to the Lord, you've done more for them than any Christian has ever done at the door, because they just don't. I probably mentioned this Sunday. They just don't hear Christian testimonies. This is so, and it's so simple. You would think that it would be routine, that this would be our first line of defense and our first line of attack, is to share with them the good news instead of arguing with them about doctrine. You know, they don't want to hear it, but they do want to hear your story, and they're very accepting and very. I mean, they couldn't argue with my story. I didn't argue with their story. It's just like having a meeting with a new friend and you're just getting to know them. I mean, how easy and comfortable could that be? Does it sound okay to everybody? You think you could do it? Is there anybody here who thinks you could not do that? Okay. And that's okay. Okay, go ahead.
You know, I live in an apartment house.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so they can't come to you.
Right, but a couple days... A couple weeks ago, I've never had any Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had. So actually, I didn't even know that they do that. But anyways, it's Jehovah Witnesses.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one time a guy came and I actually said, "How'd you get him?" He's like, "How much are you doing?" But I didn't get in an argument with him. But he asked me, why, because I told him I was a Christian. He said, "Why?" And he said, I said, "Why are you?" He goes, "You already know why. You live by." I got a little mad. I said, you need to leave the period. I don't know if I would have followed you. I was friendly with him.
You didn't do anything.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying, based on your experiences,
mm-hmm.
how did I just handle it? Because he was very mad when he left.
Well, he won't be mad when he leaves if you do what I've just suggested. You say, "Tim, I don't hear what you believe in."
I didn't do that when he was helping.
Well, you know what?
But then did he win? Did he win what he was trying to get to accomplish by what you said was turning down? They take on.
Oh yeah, and he went back to what you said was Jehovah's Witness.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and when he goes back to the Kingdom Hall and shares this with other people, he said, "Well, I got persecuted today." Yeah. They love it, and you're building up their faith. And Mormon missionaries, I've heard them brag about it. You know, how many times they get done or sprayed with bitten by a dog or whatever. But look, if you, all I can say is that I used to go like this at the door, right at the door. I mean, I wouldn't let them get past the threshold before I started hammering them with scripture. And never saw it go anywhere. But what I just described to you as a good encounter with Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, I use that same technique to entertain a Jehovah's Witness team of missionaries for a year and a half. Every week they come back for a year and a half. They weren't angry. They were coming back because they thought there was still fertile ground there to plow. That's because I kept on showing an interest in what they believe and what they teach, and yet at the same time sharing what the Bible says. And eventually, usually I'll pull out the testimony exchange even in the first meeting. But sometimes 2 or 3 weeks down the road. Yeah,
I'm sorry we don't have a portable mic, but we're also would like to have come.
Yeah,
we would like to have come and couldn't.
Yeah.
So
you should have yelled at me earlier.
I don't want to tell you how to do it, but
no.
You can get into the mic that way.
I'm sorry. The reason I got down there, by the way, is I couldn't hear. Too far back. It's so important for the congregation to get up front where the speaker can hear you.
He just got mad. He said, "I pulled you off the stand."
No, don't be mad. Cardi's not mad. He just wants me to get back on track.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And that's okay. Well, anyway, what is it, John? Oh, somebody open up John, 1 John 1 through 4.
1 John?
Yeah. This is all about making your joy complete.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Chapter 1, verse 1 through 4?
Yep.
Okay. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we
we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. Life was manifested, we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus. And for these things we write unto you, joy.
When I have written many letters to people that I suspected were not saved, and I just assure you, it makes my joy complete. I mean, it's just so exciting when you take the trouble to spend the time and share the good news with somebody. It is always a celebration afterwards. I want to go out and kick up my heels because I was available. I may not have been effective. I don't know. You see very few people actually bend their stubborn knee and decide to follow Christ. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often in my book. But when it happens, oh my goodness. I mean, I can believe angels are celebrating because it's so rare. This is one of the reasons I really love to work with a missionary partner. Because you got somebody to share the joy with, you know, instead of just having to enjoy it yourself. But there are times when I work by myself, and not when it comes to Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, because those people, trust me, some of them, not all of them, but some of them are good at dirty tricks against Christians who work alone in their midst. Anyway, it's time for questions, but let me share one little thing here with you. You don't want me getting up. I was going to say that there's a brochure out here. Once you get past the testimony thing and you're good friends with these people, dare then, once you're already on a friendly basis, to share with them something that deeply concerns you about them. And like the other day in the campground, the camper next to mine, the people were getting ready to leave, and I thought, oh, well, I meant to go over and sit down and jaw with them, you know, get to know them a little bit, ask them for their testimonies and share mine. And I didn't, and so I walked over and I told the guy, I said, you know, oh, I see you're leaving. I'm so sorry. I meant to come over and at least be sociable and, you know, chit chat with you. And so he came over and talked to me. I don't know how I got onto it, but something in our conversation, I turned to talk about what I wanted to talk about. And I started, I told him, I said, well, you know, my purpose in being here is because I'm going to be here all week, because I'm here to help Mormons and Christians understand what they used to have in common that they should be able to regain. Now, that's a positive message for Mormons. It's not a in-your-face fist fight. And there's a brochure out on a table that will help you to do that. And it's real simple. By the way, the title of the brochure is We Used to Agree, What Happened? And in that brochure, it describes three attributes of God that Joseph Smith taught in strict accordance with the Bible in the beginning, in their original doctrine and covenants, which is where their doctrine is. And it also says, after each one of them, it says, we used to agree that there's only one God. What happened? And then it says, it shows where Joseph Smith changed that. Then the second item is, we used to agree that God has always been God. And then it says, what happened, though? You see, it documents, by the way, this isn't just pie in the sky talk. It gives the Mormon documentation for where they can find those teachings, the original. And then says what happened, and then it shows where he changed it. And then the third one is God the Father is a person of spirit. We used to both teach that. And now we don't. We're at opposite ends of of the teaching. And so there's a little summary paragraph at the end of the tract that says, you know, we should be able to do this. I mean, it would be tough because we'd have to change a lot of things. But after all, Joseph Smith did say that you must know these things in order to have eternal life. I mean, it's a wiggle room free presentation to a Mormon, and they can ignore it. They can say, well, I disagree with it. They can do all that, but they won't be able to forget that their church started out virtually Christian, and today they're anti-Christian. And so anyway, when I shared this with this guy, he said, well, I see it differently than you do. I said, okay, that's okay, David, but look, whatever you do, there's really strong evidence here in this brochure, and it's all spelled out for you. You can go look it up in LDS resources, and it's so easy to verify what I'm saying, that don't risk your eternal destiny thinking that it's phony when you haven't even looked, you know? Because after all, this life that you're living now is this long, tiny little thing, and all of eternity you've got to regret that you didn't listen to the truth. And I told him, I was trying to be cute, and I think he did snicker. I told him, I said, you know, we say friends, don't let friends drive drunk. And I like to tell my Mormon friends, friends, don't let friends spend all of eternity in outer darkness, especially not over ignorance. We need to be willing to educate people who simply are ignorant of the truth. And by the way, these people are almost always sweet people. And if you approach them sweetly, they usually respond sweetly. That's the only reason I'm still married to a Mormon. If I was constantly grating against her, you know, I would have been divorced many, many years ago. Okay, so I was going to say that now after you've made friends with the Mormons, you can share that serious stuff with them, and they have nothing to stand on. Mormons don't like to debate doctrine with you, and here's why. I have an example of Mormon apologetics that a little girl gave me. I was teaching out at the Hill Cumorah. I had a flip chart easel, and I had a crowd of people around me, and I'm sharing with them information, tidbits about Mormon history. This little girl comes up and sticks a note in my hand. Actually, first she was shyly watching over, to the side. She disappeared, and then when she came back, she had gone and written this note, and she wadded it up or folded it up and stuck it in my hand and left, very quiet. But here's what she said to me. Can you see that's a bit amateurish? Yeah, okay. Well, this is the essence of Mormon apologetics. Dear Mr. Mann, I know you believe this in this stuff, but to us it's not true. So just leave our people alone. Okay, your stuff is not true. It will never be true. So just drop it. Okay? I mean, how cute. I mean, I'm sure she was serious. She says, love, Sarah. And then she's this is so funny. She said, I laugh every time I read it. She said, P.S., S, she put two S's on it. Your stuff is wrong and our stuff is right. Got it? I mean, this, and look, I think Mormons feel this hopeless when it comes to defending what they believe. If you get down to talking about the nitty gritty, but that's why it's so important. They're taught not to debate with you. They're urged not to consider this an intellectual endeavor, that it's feelings that count. You know, if it feels good, it's right. And anyway, so do you have any questions?
You mentioned earlier something that folks made up Mormon security.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so what is Mormon security? At the Hill Cumorah, they have lots and lots of parking attendants who are always on the lookout for strange things like anti-Mormons creeping through the parking lot with signs or bullhorns. And by the way, we don't do any of that. We don't do bullhorns, and we don't do the big banners. And well, we do have a canopy out there with a banner around it. But they also have a team of CIA types. That's what they look like. And they're all dressed in suits. They're all talking to their sleeve, you know. You know how they do that. When you see them going like this, you know they're part of the security team. And they're dead serious. If they see a conversation going on inside the pageant, you got about 3.25 hours before the pageant to chat and to wait for it to happen. And so this makes it a fertile ground for witnessing. And if you pull out a Bible in there, they will be on you like ugly on an ape. Yeah. And you'll be out of there. They will not tolerate you using a Bible in their pageant. You would think they'd love to have the Bible shown, but they don't want to hear what's in it, because you're going to be showing them things that go contrary to their faith. So that's why I prefer the kinder, gentler method of witnessing to them, by simply becoming their friend and getting to know them and letting them get to know you. So did I answer that enough?
Yeah, one of the things people hear out of the enemy, the devil, hates truth. And you see them rejecting the Bible, they're trying to cover up truth.
Yeah. No question about it. They don't want to hear the truth. And that's one of the reasons you don't go at them with the truth right away, except the truth of your own story, because they're not taught to reject your personal story. They're taught to reject debating over the Bible. Anybody else? Yeah.
Like I said, I've never been approached by it, but Jehovah's the Witnesses, they definitely want to talk about their
God. Oh, they do. Yeah, they love it. Yeah, you're right.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah. On the other hand, if you tell them that you've been born again, that scares the dickens out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can't have anything.
Where I used to live, we used to have the same people come all the time.
Oh yeah.
So it's almost like somebody else would say.
They finally mark your address on a map. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Wasn't very good.
Another question back there, right?
Scripture always has come to my mind, Galatians 1:8. But we were an angel from heaven, which is an angel of God, and that which we have preached unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever come out?
Yeah. Yeah. I can assure you that Christian missionaries have been sharing that with Mormons forever and ever and ever. And, you know, it doesn't seem to make a dent. Of course, the strongest material that I know of that was used to get a Mormon bishop out of and Mormon missionaries in my town, get them to leave their mission, still won't affect most Mormons. But we got to remember that, and I have to remind our missionaries of this all the time to keep them from getting discouraged. Jesus said there were going to be how many that find the narrow road that leads to life? He didn't say a few. He said only a few. To me, that word only in there kind of emphasizes it's going to be precious little. And the many are going to go the way of destruction. And it's sad, but we need not let the fact that it's everything we tell them is mostly ineffective. We need not let that taint our view of our own abilities, because it's not us. They're rejecting truth. They're not rejecting you. But yeah, that among hundreds of other passages of Scripture. We keep trying to show them. I don't do that anymore. I always go for the jugular. I go for their original teachings on the nature of God. And when you do that, I mean, if they have the wrong God and they can be convinced of that, the rest of it falls like a house of cards, right? What else is there? The details don't even matter if you have the wrong God. If you're worshiping a false God, God says you'll fall into the pit right behind the false prophet. So, anybody else? Yes? Well, that's very... Well, have you ever thought about just inviting them to read the Bible with you?
No.
Okay. You, like I said, it's not for everybody. And you're probably safe with that position, I would guess. And you just hang on to that. Yeah.
I got a question.
Yeah.
There were a couple people here. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could declare the Latter-day Saints and eternity is.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it, that there's three layers.
Yeah. Okay.
It was the first time I was introduced to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Part B of my, with that said, what is the Mormon's position for end times, the rapture?
Oh, you're asking me a hard question.
Do they even go there?
No. I've never heard a Mormon talk about that. And I don't bother them with it either because, like I said, I've got more basic foundational issues to help them with. The very nature of God himself. And I never have to go beyond that. I just go, and I believe me, I used to cover the gamut of topics with them, but it's just it's way too much work, and it's so much easier just to learn those three attributes of God that we used to teach the same as Mormons, or that they used to teach the same as us, I should say, and to just know how to get the documentation that shows where they changed it. I mean, people have left the Mormon Church wholesale because when they find that. In fact, when Joseph Smith was first changing these doctrines, his leadership was condemning him for making changes in so-called revelations. Yeah, he added wholesale big chunks of new information into a revelation that happened 2 years ago. You know. And he had people got upset, and they still will get upset today if they care. But most Mormons just want to keep on ticking along. I don't know if this is a good analogy, but in most Christian churches, this is probably the exception, of course, but in most Christian churches, most of the people there are just cruising. They come for the music. They like hearing a good message, and they are. I've done it. You know, that's it for the week. Hopefully next Sunday won't come too quick. And it's a shame, but again, our Lord told us only a few. So those of you who are part of those few, I'm proud of you, and I know the Lord is, and. And we need to stand tall and realize I was with two lady missionaries at the Boston Temple opening of the Mormon Temple there for I don't know if it was 2 weeks. No, I think I just took the last week. They had asked me to supervise this last week, and all I got was two lady missionaries and myself. That doesn't even allow you enough for, you know, somebody to stay two by two while somebody else, while the other two go get lunches and things like that. And I had to say at the end of that outreach, as we were praying to seal it up, I just said to the Lord, I count it such a privilege to be one of the few. And not that I was feeling good about being one of the few, that I was honored that of all the people in the world, I happened to be chosen to be one of those three people who took care of this incredible outreach. And frankly, I think we covered it pretty well, but it was a little uncomfortable. But I just had to praise the Lord for the being the exception. And I'm my first 25 years of my Christian faith were hardly that, you know. I mean, I was such a phony. But anyway, anybody else have a question? Yeah, Cardi.
As we're closing here, one of the things that is probably obvious to all of us is that we feel really inadequate.
Oh.
But here's my encouragement. Don't be discouraged, because remember, God says some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. We do our part, he does his. It doesn't mean we don't have to witness. We do. We're supposed to do what Tom is teaching us to do. Don't be discouraged when you don't have fruit right away.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I want you to know, just to reiterate, this is not only the easiest thing you can do, what I was suggesting, it's the most important thing you could do, because they never hear Christian testimonies. I mean, it's incredibly important, and it's incredibly easy. And the first time you might, but by the way, if any of you entertain the idea of preparing yourself to participate in this outreach next year, it's going to be big, and we are going to need much help. We do not take new people and put them out there on the front lines to be ravaged by Mormon apologetics. You know, we pair new people up with more experienced missionaries who know the ropes, who can even if you do actually attempt to witness to a Mormon, and you kind of get stuck, well, the one with you, the supervisor with you, will pick it up and show you how to polish that off. It's not that hard, but one thing I've learned is that when you learn how to answer the questions and the critique of false religions, you pretty much learn how to answer most of them. They all have the same attacks. They all attack the Trinity. They all attack. That's why I say study the Trinity and know it like the back of your hand. And they attack your character even. Oh, you just got yourself saved and you think you can just live like the devil. I mean, I've had so many Mormons tell me that. Even a little kid once told me that. A little Mormon kid. And I don't know, just remember that we don't throw people to the wolves out there. We're all about, and by the way, we have debriefings every night or every morning about the night before, to share stories about what happened and how we could have done it better. We have training every morning. I would be up here if we can enlist a bunch of new volunteers for that mission trip. I would be up here a week early to do some intense training. But we got to have at least one person to do that. I think I saw a hand go up over here.
We got one person standing.
Oh, there you go.
No, I'm just ready.
We're time to get out of here. You can answer. Well, they weren't really Christian. I would not dare say that Joseph Smith used to be a Christian. He rejected all Christian churches. And yeah, he attracted Christians to his new church by teaching out of the Bible. That makes sense. How could he couldn't enlist a whole bunch of new church members by introducing them to some foreign scripture, right? So he started out with Bible teaching, and he was good at it. I mean, if you read, I don't expect any of you are going to do this, but I read their original Doctrine and Covenants, which is where their doctrine is. And I was so shocked that I'm reading Christian Trinitarian doctrine right there in their own book. And when I showed it to my wife, all she did was get upset and leave. And I didn't think I was being rough, but maybe I was. Who knows?
The devil knows that we're not going to accept 100% of a lie. Yeah, maybe it can't be all lie. There has to be some truth in it. So, yeah, let's close in prayer. So, Lord, we do thank you. Thank you, Lord, that there are people out there that need us, Lord. They need your words, and we are your mouthpiece, Lord. So give us brave feet and hands and mouth and hearts, Lord, that we might be willing even to share with those people that come to our door, Lord. They are lost and don't even know it. They're standing on the brink of eternity about to tumble into hell and don't even know it, Lord. So help us to have eyes for the lost, Lord, and hearts for the lost, that we would not just pray for them, but share your very, very good news. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead.